All right, take your Bibles and let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, and I want to look at the first three verses with you. I titled this message, If Any Man Thirst. If Any Man Thirst. Now let's read the first verse of our text together. Verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, this is an invitation. It's an invitation, and the one that's speaking this invitation is God. God himself is speaking this invitation. It's, when I read it, it's warm. It's generous. It's engaging. It's gracious and kind. It's definitely an invitation. Now, I generally don't use the word invitation. And that's because of how man in religion has taken the word of God and twists it and ruins it and actually makes the invitations of God for his people, which are beautiful, which are lovely, which are glorious. And they tend to make the invitation of God to his people to be useless. Useless to those that they're preaching and declaring the word to. And so I typically avoid saying or pointing out this is an invitation of God to his people. But I love the invitations of God for his people. How he graciously calls his people out of darkness and into his light. How he speaks to the one who's troubled and bids them to come and find rest for their souls in him. The Lord is very gracious in his invitations to his people. He encourages that one who's trembling and afraid and fearful. And he encourages them with words of comfort to come to him, assuring them that they will have that which they seek of his grace and mercy. He gives very kind invitations to his people. Look at it. It says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. That is an invitation. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. That is an invitation. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That is an invitation. But know this, this is an invitation to a particular people. This is a word of God, an invitation of God given to a particular people. It's not given to everyone in the world. It's not given to everyone in the world. And you might say, well, hold on a minute. Doesn't it say right there in the text, ho, everyone? Doesn't it say everyone? Is the Lord inviting everyone in the world without prejudice, meaning without limitation? Is it just an open-ended invitation to every single individual in the world? Or does the Lord define those that he's inviting here in the text? Does he define who it is that he's speaking to so kindly, so graciously, so lovingly? And so is it going to everyone or is it defined who that is? Because not everyone, but everyone defined is to whom this invitation goes. Not everyone, but to everyone defined. That's who this invitation is addressed to. Now, if this was to everyone, let's just say this was to everyone, This is how this verse might read. Let's see this. This, if this was to everyone, this is how this verse might read. Ho, everyone, come ye to the waters. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk. That was just an open-ended invitation to all. It would just read something like, ho, everyone, come ye to the waters. Come, buy and eat. Right? That would be to everyone. There's no limitations on as to who that everyone is. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say, ho, everyone, come to the waters. It says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So the grace of God that's shown here to sinners in this word here, it's not that it's to everyone, but we see the love of God in that it's to anyone. There's no limitations as to what type of person it is. And well, let me show you what I mean. Turn over to John chapter 7. Let's go to John chapter 7. Because this is where I actually get the title of the message from, if any man thirsts. John chapter 7, verse 37. And we're going to be there just for a few minutes, and then we'll close with verse 38 and 39. So don't turn from it yet. But verse 37 says, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, right? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So Christ isn't addressing everyone, but he is speaking to anyone. He's speaking to anyone. It doesn't matter if a man or woman, whether it's man or woman, and it doesn't matter if that man or woman is great or small. It doesn't matter if they're rich or they're poor. If they're free or enslaved, if they're young or they're old, it doesn't matter what their education level is, if they're learned or unlearned. It doesn't matter if they're strong or weak, if they're religious and have been their whole lives, or if they're an infidel or castaway. It doesn't matter if they're disciplined or undisciplined. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. It doesn't matter if they're a Jew or a Gentile. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, Christ says, and drink. Let him go to Christ and drink. And so the invitation is to anyone who is thirsty. If anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me, Christ said, and drink. So this thirst that Christ is speaking of, this thirst that's in our text, it's referring to righteousness. Them that are thirsting and hungering for righteousness, because in ourselves we have no righteousness. We don't do that which is right and acceptable and pleasing to God. We're sin. We are sinners. We're sinful. We do sin and we are sin. We sinned in Adam. We fell in the garden. We were cut off from fellowship with God, ruined in our very nature. And we cannot work a righteousness. We cannot keep the law of God. We certainly can't keep it perfectly. We don't even keep it in part. And where we break it in one, we've broken the whole law. We're condemned. We're condemned sinners. But if any man is a sinner and thirsts for forgiveness, let him come unto me, Christ said, and drink. Is any man condemned and needs mercy? Let him come unto Christ and drink. If any man is troubled, he has no rest. He's like the troubled sea, just picking up muck and dirt and gunk from the bottom of the sea. If he's troubled, if he's restless and afraid, let him come unto Christ. If he seeks for rest and peace with God, let him come unto Christ and drink. If any man is cut off, feels himself to be cut off, having sinned despite the Spirit of grace and doesn't know what he's going to do, and he needs salvation, he thirsts for salvation, let him come unto Christ and drink. And so our Lord continues saying in verse 38 and 39, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And so what our Lord is saying is that all who believe on Christ are born again of the Holy Spirit. That's why they bear that fruit of faith. That's why they go to Christ. That's why they come to him having nothing, no confidence in self, no confidence in their works. They go to Christ broken, needy, dead in trespasses and sins, sick and sorry. They go to Christ. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. They go to him, and it testifies that they are born again, so that by the grace of God giving them life, they are brought under the sound of the gospel. They are called by God and brought under the sound of the gospel and given an ear to hear the glorious good news being declared to sinners in the name of Jesus Christ. For the sake of Christ, sinners find mercy, find rest for their souls, find grace and peace with God because of Christ, for Christ's sake. And they hear it. They hear that glorious good news and they believe. And so they find satisfaction with Christ. They find he's all that they need. He's everything that the sinner needs. And he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And what that means is that when we come to Christ, the sinner that comes to Christ and finds they're all in Christ is satisfied with him. It's an ever-flowing river of water, satisfied with Christ, so that they're not looking around. We don't believe on Christ and then start to collect little good luck charms and practice little superstitions, trying to aid and add to the hope that we have in Christ. All that's garbage. All that's dung. We're done with those things. We find everything we need in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God receives us and accepts us in the person of Jesus Christ. We come in his righteousness. We come in his blood. We come pleading the blood of Christ and mercy for Christ's sake, because that's the salvation that God has provided for his people, for the needy sinner, for the one who's thirsty. Now, that means not everyone is addressed, but the invitation is addressed to anyone who thirsts. Not everyone, but anyone who thirsts. So when does a man hear the invitation that God gives to his people? When does a man hear the invitation? When it's addressed to him. When it's addressed to him, when he hears the Lord speaking to him. Lord, I'm the sinner. Lord, I'm thirsty. Lord, I'm hungry for your righteousness. Lord, I have nothing. Have mercy on me, Lord. Would you save me? Would you cover me in the blood of Christ? That's when a man hears the invitation. Come. Come unto me. Come unto Christ and drink. Drink. Drink it all and as much as you can take. Just keep on drinking. And God will keep providing. He calls the... That's when a man hears the invitation, when it's addressed to him. And so it's addressed to him that has a need, that has the need. He's the sinner. And that need is made known to him in that he's thirsty. Now he's thirsty. Now he's hungry. Now he can't get himself clean by his works. Now all he sees is filth and vile wretchedness before the light of God. And so that man, he hungers and thirsts, and it testifies he's alive. Dead people don't hunger and thirst. They have no need for food, and they have no need for drink. Dead people don't hunger and thirst. The living soul, that one who's alive, hungers and thirsts. And that's why they hear. And that's why they come. That's why they look to the salvation of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and are saved, even all the way out to the ends of the earth. That's the Lord's calling, his people in Christ. And, you know, you think of that picture of the damsel. I think it says that she was about 12 years old, who was dead, and they mocked Christ when he said that she's not dead, she's sleeping, and they laughed, and then he brought her back from the dead and gave her to her parents. And he said to her parents, give her something to eat. And it's a picture of us when we hear the grace of our God, when we hear of the glories of Christ, and we're alive. That's why we hear it. That's why we look to him and we come. But we're hungry and we're thirsting. We're weak in this flesh. And so the Lord says, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And so the Lord is feeding you. He's giving you food, the bread from heaven, that which does not perish. He gives you the bread of heaven, and he gives you the drink of Christ's blood, which is refreshing and cleanses us from the stain of sin. So the man born of the Spirit hears the gospel, he feels his need, and he believes on Christ by faith. He trusts the word of God. He doesn't see what he thinks he should see in himself. He doesn't see what he wants to see in himself. He thinks he's just stumbling and falling short, and wonders why God would be gracious to him. And yet the Lord is. He's gracious for Christ's sake. And he makes Christ precious to us because we know it's for Christ's sake that we're received of the Lord. So we continue in Christ through the power of God and by his teaching, the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who then reasons with us and gives us knowledge and understanding in the things of our God. Our Lord is revealing himself to that new man, that new creation, which he's formed in his people, whereby we know him and believe on him. And our Lord wars against the lies and the deceit of carnal men. We read this in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, where Paul says of the Spirit and through the gospel, it's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because we're in this flesh, and we're in this world, and we're carnal by nature. And the Lord is destroying those things which are foolish and darkness, and those things which cannot save. And so we see this spiritual knowledge and this reasoning that the Lord gives to his people. Now, look back in Isaiah 55 and the first half of verse 2. He asks, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? So through these two questions, the Lord, as you read them, the Lord's showing you just how full of folly this flesh is, how foolish this flesh is, because that's what we do by nature. That's what the flesh does. The flesh spends, and the flesh labors on that which cannot save, on that which cannot satisfy, on that which does not strengthen and nourish us. Why do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? And so the Lord's pointing out, you're spending money on that which does not nourish you. You're laboring on that which brings you no satisfaction, no peace with God, no forgiveness, no rest for your souls. And the Lord uses this because we eat bread. We know what that is. We eat bread for strength. We eat bread for nourishment. We eat bread to stay alive. And if you need life, he's saying you're wasting your time in the things of men. You're wasting your time in vain, carnal, fleshly religion. You're wasting your time trying to do the things that man says is important in religious things and thinking this is salvation and this is what God is happy and pleased with. And he's saying that's not at all what the Lord is pleased with. You're not finding satisfaction in what you're laboring in. He's saying, look to Christ. Look to my Son. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I've sent, the one in whom I'm pleased. I'm satisfied with him, and you'll find rest and peace and satisfaction for your souls in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't look to dead letter religion. Don't look to try and fix things and make things better for yourself by the things that you do. We should do good works, and we should join together, gather together to hear the word. But that's not the hope of our righteousness. Our Lord and Savior is the hope of our righteousness. So carnal man will be found focusing on morality, focusing on his religion, focusing on getting other men and women to do things, more religious things, so he can make his boast in those things. But that's not the sufficiency of Christ. Christ alone saves. And, you know, many will speak of Christ. Many will speak of him, even of him as Lord, but that doesn't mean that he declares the doctrine of Christ, the all-sufficiency of Christ. And so they'll emphasize, instead of preaching the salvation of God in Christ, they'll emphasize what man is responsible to do. They'll emphasize what man needs to be doing more of and getting you motivated and active to do more things, which then becomes your focus and the hope of your salvation. Our Lord said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's Matthew 15:9. And then Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And he explains that some of the things that they would say would be, they would forbid you to marry, and they would forbid you from eating meats, meat sacrificed to idols, for example. And Paul says, anything that's received with thanksgiving, it's fine. You can eat it. Just, you know, anything that's received with thanks, knowing that it's of God who gives it, and that there is but one God, one Lord. It's all of his hand, and we receive it with thanks. He says it's fine. But the way that we counter the foolish teaching of man, and the way we counter those imaginations in our flesh that exalt themselves against the truth and knowledge of our God, he tells us, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Timothy 4:6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. And so the doctrine of Christ is all declared in the covenant of his grace, that God provided everything for us through his Son. Our Savior came in the flesh. The Son of God came in the flesh for his people to be that fit sacrifice, born under the law, born of the seed of woman, conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost, so that he was born under the law and fulfilled the law of God perfectly for his people, doing all that was necessary, performing every jot and every tittle of the law. And our Savior died in the place of his people as their sacrifice and sets us free from all the burden of man-made carnal religion that cannot satisfy or set us free. And so he died, and his salvation is full and free. It can't be earned. It can't be bought. It can't be purchased by our works or our giving or anything that we do. It's free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice back there in Isaiah 55 verse 2, that first half, he says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not?" And that spending of money and laboring, that's man's thoughts. That's man's ways. That's how man thinks salvation gets done. By what he spends for it, and by how hard he works for it. Because if he's not spending for it, and if he's not working hard for it, then God won't be pleased with it. That's what man thinks. He thinks, how's God going to value? God won't value this. If I don't strive and spend my effort and my time and my works and work hard for this, it means that there's no value in it. And God won't receive that if there's no value in it. But that's because of the way that's man thinks that way, because that's how the carnal man thinks without the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Why don't you turn there? 1 Corinthians 2:14. We'll look at two verses here. Verse 14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." All right, now look up at verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." It is free. It cost Christ his blood. It cost him his life. He laid down his life willingly to put away the sins of his people. But to you and me, the needy sinner who has nothing to spend, no good works, no righteousness to give to God, it's free to all who come and ask him, all who look to him, all who need it. He invites them, "Come. Come, you that are thirsty, come unto me and drink," Christ said. And so, to seek to work for, to seek to labor for this salvation is really no different than how the Pharisees were when in rejecting Christ, in rejecting the Word of God, in rejecting the testimony of God that in Christ alone is salvation. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verse 2. Paul says, speaking of the Pharisees who sought righteousness by their own works, who spent money and labored for bread and for satisfaction. All right, this is them in Romans 10, 2. Paul said, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Not according to spiritual knowledge. They refused, they rejected the simplicity that is in Christ. They rejected the simplicity of righteousness by the Lord Jesus Christ. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." When we try to come to God in our own righteousness, in our spent money, in our labor, or even in Christ plus, right, Jesus plus my works, when we come to him, we're calling God a liar. We're saying, "Lord, you haven't provided enough. It's not sufficient. I need more. I don't believe you, Lord." "For Christ is," verse 4, "the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And so they reject Christ because he's full and free and provides everything. And it discounts all their spent money and all their labor and says it's all dung. It's not received by God. He despises it, just as you despised his son. He despises your works as you despise his son. So they think that their spending and their labor, the carnal man thinks it's more valuable than the preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father gave and spared not to obtain the salvation and eternal redemption of the souls of his people. of his people's lives. So they think it's of no value, but the Spirit says, or the Lord says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So our Lord calls the living to himself, those that are hungering and thirsting, those who need, whose need is revealed in them. And he says now, back in Isaiah 55, verse 2, the second half, he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, stop trying to earn God's favor with your spending and your laboring and under the law and in works of righteousness, trying to please God to give peace to your soul. Rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Christ. Believe him. He provides all that's good. He gives all that's necessary. He's given it all. He's obtained eternal redemption for his people. He's the one that gives life to his people. He's the one that sustains his people. He to this day intercedes for his people and assures us that we are received of the Father and brought into the beloved family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In him we have the promise of eternal life and will never perish. He says here in verse 3, Isaiah 55:3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so the true doctrine leads us to Christ. We see him. He's made precious to us. And so you that are thirsty, you that have no righteousness, hear that invitation addressed to you, the needy sinner. He says, come. Come unto me, anyone that thirsts, and let him drink. Drink of Christ, and you'll find satisfaction and peace in your soul. Amen.